Good morning to everybody. Are you happy this morning? You're not smiling. When you smile, I can understand you are happy. It is my great privilege once again to be here behind this pulpit. And I believe God will speak to you this morning. How many of you believe God will speak to you this morning? You know, when I was born and brought up in extreme South India, the state which is called Kerala state. Have you ever heard about Kerala state? Recently there was heavy rain and landslides. Hundreds pass away and still rain going on. So please pray for our beautiful state there. And when I moved from South India to North India, when I was 17 years old, not 70, 17 years old, I had a privilege to hear God's word. I got saved. I had a call from God. Then I learned the need of evangelization in North India. It was not easy to be in North India, being a young man. You know, all my years, rest of all my years, more than 45 years after my seminary life, I spent all my years in North Indian villages, pedaling bicycles, 25, 30 miles. I was very energetic, very smart. I was a very good salesman. And psychology, people learn from books. Of course, I too learn. But I look the faces and read the people and go to them, present the gospel. And so, because I see hundreds of people almost every day. And God established our work in North India. After my marriage, we are in one place called Gurgaon, very close to New Delhi. For the last 38 years in one place. Not easy, out of nothing. We started the work. And we never moved from one organization or one place to another place. I always had a faith in God. I always trusted in God. Today, Sister Linda, she came a few minutes before the scheduled time. And heavy rain was there. She told me, "Do you have an umbrella?" I said, "No, I did not know that there is rain." I told her, "Before we reach here, there won't be any rain." I said, after 2-3 minutes, the heavy rain stopped. And when I reached here, not even one drop fell on my coat. She told heavy rain will be there. You know, word has power. Still word has power. I believe, I trust. You know, we have a very big challenges in North India. To meet the people, to speak to them, to deal with them. It is not easy. But God the Almighty makes possible. And when I reach in North India, I saw people were carrying milk and pouring under the tree. I could not understand why these people are doing like that. That is a special tree. Have you ever noticed people tree? Do you have here people tree? 24 hours, this tree gives oxygen. So, one of the main gods of India represents, called Vishnu. So if you are from Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad, when you see here the name Vishnu, it represents this tree. And because it gives you oxygen, so they put represents to one of the gods. And elephant, Ganapati, there is another god. Then monkey worship, I was wondered. Tuesday is the day of monkey worship. Hundreds of highly educated people carry the milk into this Hanuman Mandir. Hanuman is their god. So they go and pour the milk where the monkey is there and feed them. So like that, we have 33 million god and goddesses in India. They believe in pantheism. Pantheism means everything is God and in everything God. What you see, that is a God. In one way, I am telling, this is called pantheism. So, North India is completely under this darkened situation. Bible says, Satan hath blinded the eyes of the people, so that they should not see the light of the world or should not see God. I felt in North India. My main job was distributing literature. You know, Bible Literature Center. I was keeping always in my lifetime, keeping every time my hall will be filled with the literature. I make 3 gospel and 1 other 2-3 small type literature and put it in a packet and sell, because if I don't sell it, they don't read it. So I get little money. At the same time, those who are interested, they will buy it. Then Gideon's New Testament. In my church itself, there are people, because I cannot involve in that, because pastors cannot join in that. But in my church, there are officers. They join with that, and we get free. And keep on distributing in villages, hospitals, everywhere. That is my job. So every time I was busy in the street and highways, byways, not sitting in the home, always very active. I think that's what still God extend my life. Average life in India is 60, 62, 63. The retirement is 58, 55. After that, people slowly sit and rest and they will go away. This average life in India. But still I am preaching, still I am doing things. Even young men, they won't sit idle. I tell them, now you get precious time, but you cannot. Yesterday, I was distributing tracts in Enmolan area with our pastor's nephew, Ken Sagar. Around 100 houses we finished in certain places. Came back to home. I was glad because I met certain people even from my own state and explained to them. We asked to an young man, he's from Pentecostal background, are you assured about your salvation, about going to heaven? The young man, he goes to the church, Pentecostal church, and he told, I am not sure, 80%, I am not sure. Then we told, you trust in work. You have to believe in God. Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you trust in God, when you get saved, God assures the security in your life, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, not by works. So as the church, small, just beginning, what I want to tell you, you know, too many things to share by my text is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Here we see the compassion of 4 people towards a paralytic man. I was thinking about this paralytic man. And you know, in those days, not like today, we have too many surgeons, too many specialists. They're the local doctors. The parents of this man might have taken to the doctors. And they might have finally told you will never be healed. Take away. So now he is in a corner of the house. He doesn't know what to do. Just desiring for his death. And there is no other way. Because he is helpless. A helpless man is a hopeless man. A hopeless man is completely without any hope or anything in his life. And when we look this world, we see all world is helpless. Helpless and hopeless. They cannot live by themselves. They need somebody's help. Somebody's help. Today the church represents to help those who are in need. William Booth, you know, I studied years back, but still I remember because I studied around 8 years in the college theology. Those time I had to study about this William Booth. His doctrine was not sound, not good. But he practiced. He made his followers. He took care of others to help others. When he was dying, you know, one of his close associates came and asked him, "What is your last desire?" He said, "Help others. Care others." You know, William Booth died, and his daughter also might have died because she was the next general. But still, Salvation Army exists. Any difficulty comes to anybody, they will be there because God established the desire of the man helping others. Yes, sometimes we may think, how can I help? My income is very less. My work is small. William Carey said, he was the missionary to India. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Is it possible? Expecting great things from God and attempting great things for God. When we get up in the morning, we have to expect something good will come in our lives. And we have to work it out. God makes a way. And God will bring a way. I was remembering, I started the work. I got married an young, beautiful girl, beautiful wife. And rented a place. Nobody is scared in North India. Not even a cup of water you will get it. That time when I got married, I was teaching in a Bible college. But after 6 months of my marriage, I told my wife, "Young lady, I want to leave the college and start a pioneer work in the city." She was about to faint and fall down on the street when we were talking. It was in the evening. And she came with a very good hope and things because I was teaching in the Bible college. And there was an income. We moved next day out of the college and rented a house and started the work. And my brother was in the ministry. He was the principal of the college that time. My younger brother already got married and having a child. So I just, after him only I got married. So I cannot go to home also. Situation very bad before me. But I trusted God can do miracle. I was not sitting idle. I made gospel packets, New Testament, carrying to the people, pedaling cycles. When I see one person, I stop and share. I never dared. I never feared. We have hundreds of temples in our places. From morning till night, they make noises. Hundreds of people come there. So I will go early morning to the temples, stand by the side, and keep on distributing, selling. And you know, all my needs were met by God. I don't have to beg to others. I don't have to ask to anybody. I did not move from the place. I trusted in the Lord and he was doing in my life. Praise God. Hear about this paralytic man. He is very hopeless and helpless. He doesn't know what to do. But the whole world is in such a desperate condition. Somebody has to get up and move among the people. It is not easy. But God will make a way when we move. And he will open our mouth to speak what exactly we have to speak. I remember when I was constructing a beautiful building in the city. No, I did not have much money, but only architect plan. I got a little land. But I started by faith. Little money I had. But God finished it. God completed it. But in the initial stage, people from the locality, they did not allow. They stopped the truck with my materials to pull it, put down. I don't know what to do. They're all around 40 people were drunkards sitting with the big sticks. I told somebody I will go and deal with them. Then I just looked back. I heard a voice from an young man. Father, you don't go. I will go and talk to them and get your material. Immediately, he went there and talked, and my material came. When I inquired about him, he was giving this alcohol to these people because he was selling alcohol. I don't know if I told you or not. After a few months, he came to me after the construction of the building, and I was standing. He stopped his car and came to me and said, Father, I am a heart patient now, because he was keep on drinking, and I do not know what to do, I will die. I said, you don't have to die, but what I say, you have to listen. You have to stop drinking. I will pray for you, and God will extend your life. I laid the hands on him. He is a very rich man in the community. Prayed, and he went back. And one day again he came and he stopped his car and said, Father, I stopped drinking. Father, I stopped drinking. I stopped my business. Now I am free from alcohol. 2 years back, he stood for the election, municipality election. And he came and asked me to pray. I prayed. He won. Now he is the chairman in our community. So anybody comes from here, these guys will be in front in our building, in our meeting. And how God makes a way. When we are prepared, God is there to look after us. Praise God. I went through stabbing. You never went through such an agony or pain in your life. When I was young, went for preaching, baptizing people. After coming out of the house from a meeting, I was stabbed by the knife. After a few minutes, I was admitted into the medical college. My hand was cut with a blade, so the blood was shedding from everywhere. I was unconscious. In those days, without police give the clearance, without prescription, nobody can give a painkiller. So I used to, when I go for the x-ray, I was unconscious, back and forth, taking out, bringing out, like that. About to die. People thought, of course, after a few days, I came out of the hospital. 7 stitches I have here. 7 stitches. Here also, stitches were there. Everybody thought I will leave the ministry and go. Still continuing and carrying out work. Last 2 months back, I baptized 8 people from the community. 1 Muslim and all are others are Hindus. They are present to different states. I know when I bring one guy, he can bring all his family. And then they can bring all the villagers. I get in the midnight some calls. because they recommend to their villages, those who are sick, those who have problems, then they will give the number and they will call me in the midnight to pray for them, to share them, like that. So I am so glad to see such a ministry, because our government don't give any permission to convert anybody. We cannot look upon the government to get the permission to baptize them or bring to Christ. But we carry on the work. In the morning, of course, I have a baptism tank. I spent 3 months back, $2,000. It was on the, like this flap, and I brought it up a little more so that more easy to, for the protection and to get the water out and get inside. Too many things, the mason did it. And so in the early morning, we invite people for the baptism service before the people get up. Because if anybody comes to know that we are converting people, then they can do anything. They can kill us. Even the candidate's relatives, if they come to know he is converted, then there will be too many problems there. Now face to face, I cannot share gospel to you. People can go and complain that he is forcing me for the conversion's sake. So such a situation we have. Our government wants one religion, one language, one nation. One religion means Hinduism. One nation, India. One language, Hindi. We have 16 major languages we have. Different states, different languages are being spoken, but they want main language should be Hindi everywhere. They want to implement this Hinduism. And in every school, Hindu prayer should be conducted. North India, every school and colleges, they do it like that. And a lot of pressure from everywhere. This is a situation we face in India. And a lot of people are being killed when they stand for God. Because no police, 80% people are Hindus. You know, one more thing for the persecution, for your understanding, I tell you. You know, earlier strategy of India, only 2% Christians we are. Muslims only 16%. Today we learn about Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. Second comes to India. We are 16%. But present strategy, calculation, we Christians grown up into 10 to 15%. It is true. And Muslims into 25% around in India. And Buddhism, it started from our land, Bihar. But it's spread in other countries, neighboring countries. And Jainism, they don't wear the clothes, religious ladies. The ladies will be in front of them. Through the nakedness, they will go everywhere. They are Jainism, Jain doctrine, religion. Then Turman guys, what to them when it comes? Hindus are not right now the majority in India, because Muslims and Christians are gone up. So they do not want to publish it. Instead of that, they wanted to persecute, they wanted to stop it. If you give me a check in the name of the church, I cannot transact it. Unless I go through a personal number. And they stop, they don't give that also. There was compassion ministry was going on in India. It was very helpful everywhere for the children. They stop it. No more compassion ministry going on in India, because they stop permission to do it. Because they don't want any conversion, any more conversion in these places. So no work can be done because they restrict everywhere. They take away the number which they give for the transactions and things. Now it is impossible. But there are options. If we have desires, I think now more people are ready with the gospel to go in these places and doing it. Here, the helplessness of this man. The compassion of four people here. You know how they had the compassion? We want to help this man out of his room. And they heard Jesus was in Capernaum, in one of the rooms. And they lifted this man with his bed and moved. It is not easy to carry a paralytic man with the bed. They had a unity. If one man goes left, another man goes right, and one man pulling, they cannot reach. And they had a desire, this man should be brought before Jesus Christ where he is, and he should be healed. That was their aim. He should be healed. So, the unity here reveals unity in prayer. They had a prayer in their hearts to help and bring this man. They had faith. We will reach there. And with hope, this man will be healed. Church, you have a responsibility. Not only come on Sunday 1 hour, sing a few songs, hear a little Bible study or learn something and going. Your job is over. You have to pay a big price every day. You have to do God's work in every moment. When I was traveling from Canada to back here, one man was vacated a seat. He was from India. And he had a bag. And I feared to sit near to him because he was coming from prison. But he vacated after seeing me because I am an Indian. I asked him what was the problem. He told I killed somebody. I am a truck driver dealing with the drugs. I had enmity and kill. When I was sharing, he knows more than me the Bible. Because he learned. But finally I told, still he has a revenge heart. And I have to kill some more people. I started sharing to him till I reached the destination. And he agreed I will not go anymore. I will submit myself. I prayed with him and I moved away and he went back. But my job, I did it. I shared him. You are not the one to revenge. God is there. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will make use of us. And we have to have a hope when we speak to somebody. Not through your fancy language. You might be having very good languages, but sometimes it doesn't work. D.L. Moody, he did not have a very good language, but he had a mind to speak to the people. He brought hundreds of people before God because he was a shoe repairer or maker. So he did not have college education and things, but his language was not so good. Even somebody asked, your language is not good, but he said, God is moving here. God used ordinary people in an extraordinary way. How many of you believe this morning God used ordinary people in an extraordinary way? And these four men might be ordinary people, but they are moving with a cause here to bring this man before Jesus Christ. Dear ones, his expectation is different right now. When they brought this man, there was no place there to keep him. They should have told like this. This man is not deserving to be healed. So let us take back. They were not like that. They had a perseverance. Or they need to remove the obstacle. What was the obstacle there? Multitude. They cannot remove the multitude there. Instead of that, what they did? They removed the roof of the building. In those days in Palestine, the houses were made with mud, branches on the top, and with the palm leaves, not fancy building like this or concrete building. And it was easy to remove. They tied up this man's bed and from roof brought down before Christ. After seeing their faith, we see Jesus used certain words there. But here the obstacle. We will have good mind to help others. Even in our prayer. With money. But many times obstacles comes in our minds. Too many obstacles will be there. Even this morning I told Sister Linda, people will sit in the home today because of the rain. That is an obstacle to come to the church. You know, I was thinking about Zacchaeus. You pronounce like that, I think. In Luke chapter 19, and he was a tax collector, getting more taxes from the people, from his own community, his own people, Jewish people, and giving to the Roman government. And he keeps himself one portion. So people hated him. He too doesn't want to mingle with the people. But he heard about Jesus, what miracles he doing, and how he raised up the people. And he heard several times from the people. So he had a desire when he was passing through Jericho. So when he came to the people, because of the multitude, he could not see Jesus. He did not go back. He saw a sycamore tree. And very hastily he climbed up on the tree and started sitting. The tree has leaves. And nobody, this unrecognized tree actually, nobody bothered about that. But here, when this man was sitting to see Jesus, and Jesus saw him, then asked him to come down. And then Jesus told him, I will stay with you tonight. After speaking to him, he had a conversion. And later, he paid back whatever he received. Then he followed Jesus. But before that, I want to tell you, the unrecognized tree is very significant here to a sinner, a wretched man here, for his salvation, to see Jesus. Maybe I want to ask you, can you be the tree like this? You be a tree. You should be a tree like this. For a wretched man, for a sinner to sit and see Jesus. He removed the obstacle here. Removes. Luke chapter 8, 43 onwards, when you read, there is a lady here. He had an issue of blood for 12 years. If you read from Leviticus, you will see, wherever she goes, she is unclean. Where she sits, the law says she will be unclean. 12 years she restricted her life like this. Maybe the last moment she came to know Jesus is in Capernaum now. She, with that helpless body, she said to her body, soul and spirit, I need to reach where Jesus is. I do not know with the help of others or not, but she moved. And she, when she reached there, her expectation was different. There also multitude, people, and the law. She threw all the laws and rules and regulations. And she wanted to see Jesus. She wanted to go and speak to him. She made a way. She made a way and moving. Whether people become unclean or not, I am not worried. I wanted to go and speak to Jesus. Somehow she struggled and reached. But she could not.
And she stretched forth her hand and touched the garment of Jesus Christ. Jesus asked, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" There was no answer. Peter told, "People are thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me? Who touched me?'" Finally, she came forward and said, "I am the one who." You need to stretch your hand with faith and hope. You may be a sick lady, a sick man, a broken man, a peaceless man, a desperate man, but you have to stretch forth your hand towards Christ. You have to move by faith. There is nothing impossible with God. Here this man was brought before Christ. After seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven." You know why Jesus told? He knew the root cause is sin for the sicknesses. God created man in his own image. In his own image means mentally, socially, and spiritually. He created a man in a perfect way. But when he disobeyed, he became sinner. His progeny became sinners. There was a big gap. There was a gulf between God and man. So in order to have a reconciliation, Jesus had to take or incarnated himself. In India, when you come, people know they are lacking something. They go to different high places with naked foot. They torture their body, even on the nails, even on the thorns, they walk. The blood will come. Even in the cold season, they don't wear any jackets, any clothes. They want to torture their body in order to have peace and joy there. This is the situation we see in India. And here we see the root cause which this man has, that is sin. Even in Isaiah chapter 53 we read, he suffered, he carried all our sins. And vicarious suffering we see. He shed his last drop of his blood on the cross and said, "It is finished. For the salvation of the mankind, I have done everything." When he was pierced by the Roman soldiers, he told, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? My God, why thou hast forsaken me?" You don't see anywhere Jesus address as God, only here. Rest of every places he address him as Father. A father-son relationship. But only here he said God, because he understands he is a judge here. "My God, my judge, why thou hast forsaken me here?" There was no answer. There was no answer. Why he did not answer? Because he wanted to remove the gulf between the sinner and God. God prepared a way for us, and through his blood, you and I will be saved. When we call upon his name, you shall be saved, the Bible says. You do not have to be a sinful man anymore. When you exercise your faith, you will be saved. And you will have peace. You will have joy in your life. And when we recognize, when we accept, "I am a sinner." Or if you are a backslidden man, "Yes, Lord. Once I accepted thee, because of the pleasure and pressure of this world, I am away. there is an answer. Come to him. Call his name again. He will make you a real child of God. He can make us. Here Jesus said, Son, thy sins are forgiven. Son, thy sins are forgiven. There was a group sitting. There are three groups of people in the Jewish realm. They have different offices. Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes. Their doctrines were different. Here scribes, they are dealing with the scripture. Just like in the New Testament we read, Bereans were better than Thessalonians because they were searching. But these people, scribes, they are analyzing, comparing, not searching, comparing, to find out guilty. And here, they just look back his background and say, he is the son of a carpenter. How he can forgive sins except God? A natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Only a spiritual man can understand the things of the Spirit of God. If you are a sinner, and if you read 100 times the Bible, you may not be able to understand. But when you ask to the Lord, make me to understand, and read the Bible, and keep on thinking, he will make you to understand. Because Bible is inspired word of God. And 66 books are there. At a different time, 1600 years has taken to complete this Bible. And 40 authors from different world, different places. But the theme is one redemption. The theme was redemption. Jesus said, Son, thy sins are forgiven. These guys, they are just analyzing or telling by themselves, he is speaking blasphemy. Jesus can read the mind of the people. Why do you reasoning like this? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk? Which one is easy, he tells. And the scribe should realize Jesus has the power to forgive sins. That is the main thing he used. He made them to understand here. I remember a horse trainer, animal trainers. He was a believer. He wanted to make a horse to convert into Christian. You are interested now? You may be thinking how a trainer can make or convert you to Christian. He made a horse to a Christian. How was it? He sat on the horse. Then he taught. He used the word, praise the Lord. Few times he has to do it, you know, repeat it. That is only just to move from the position. Praise the Lord. Then again it has to walk fastly, you know. Then he used the word, hallelujah. Then the horse was moving further. Then this man wanted to make this horse to run. How to make this horse to run? He doubled and tripled with the voices. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. The horse started running. Keep on running. Then another thing. He wanted to stop this horse. How to? He trained the running horse to stop. Amen. Praise the Lord for starting. Hallelujah for moving further and further with the voice, double, triple. It keep on running. The running horse to stop. Amen. The scribes were like this horse.
for everything they had argument. Jesus wanted to make them to be converted. Like this trainer. Of course, my time is running fast. He read the mind. Now he tells, I say to this man, arise, take up your bed and walk. Is it easy? If we look back his situation, he's a paralytic man on the bed. Jesus is telling, arise and walk. Lift up your bed and walk. He forgot his past experience. Many times we think, oh, my situation is like this. I am having a lot of baggage, a lot of problem in my life. Too much debt, too many things. How can I? Jesus is telling today, arise, my son, my daughter, take up your bed. With the old ragged clothes you were just lying down. Now you need to move. Arise. He forgot every situation. And he leapt out and started moving. You just imagine the place of helplessness, hopelessness, different way of thinking, doubt. Complete change. Completely filled with joy and happiness. They're all praising God. Hallelujah. How the situation changed. How it was. Because of one man's obedience. This paralytic man, he obeyed. For men's compassion. Lifting this man. And took all the struggle to bring him to Christ. I wanted to challenge you this morning. Can you be like this paralytic man? From impossibility to make it possible. Can you be like one among these four men who had compassion? Maybe to bring one person to this church. Where the presence of God is here. You may be having difficulty to drive and get that man and bring him here. Take it. Try. Try and try. You can convert. You can bring him to the true knowledge of God. Like this horse trainer. How he took time and made this wild horse to be a Christian. So let us make very useful with our life for others. Care others. Let us be a tree like Zacchaeus sat there and he came down and accepted Christ. And he saw Jesus. Can we be like that tree today? And definitely we will be blessed. God can use us. So let us pray. Just surrender your hearts before the Lord. Ask to the Lord. Lord, can you make me one of these four men who helped this paralytic man in order to make the place into real peaceful place. They are the reason for that. If anybody wants to tell before God, yes, Lord, I am here. Make me, Lord. Use me. If you lift up your hands, I'll pray for you this afternoon. I will pray for you. God, you make me. You make me like this. For man, Lord. To obey and accept like this. Paralytic man to exercise and forget the past experience, past failure, and for a present touch
God is here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is here. Let us pray.
Father, I submit and surrender all of us into their hands, Lord, especially those who raise their hands. I ask thee to bless them, Lord, and let them go out of this place with a real burden, real commitments, and with a real joy, and with a real peace, Lord. We are not ordinary people all the time. We need to be extraordinary people, Lord. We should be safe in the hands of God. And we should move by the power of God, Lord. Father, I surrender this church into thy hands. Our pastor and family is away from us, but wherever they are, thou may protect them. And we submit all the deacons of this church, all the members, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Let them be a real soul winners in the coming days. Fill these chairs. Father, there is nothing impossible. Help us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord. Thank the Lord for hearing us, hearing our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you once again, church, for your prayer, for your support towards the world. God bless you.